I wanted to start where Matt finished because I was so inspired by what Matt said last week. And really the whole, what we'd love church to be, just brainstorm, just throwing that out there, and then the whole arise at the bottom, and then the foundation of the love of God underpinning that. It was just, I don't know about you, I was quite touched and moved by it. I was quite challenged that this year is going to be a year where, you know, I'm going to do something about this. And in some ways, that's inspired what I'm bringing to you this morning. I'm taking you to the book of Acts, chapter 1, to the last spoken words of Jesus while he was on the earth. And my hope is that we can lead on from what we learned last week and prepare and equip ourselves for this coming year. I'm going to use the Passion Translation. It's new in our house. So I'm going to read Acts 1, 7 and 8 from the Passion Translation. It says, "The Father is the one who sets the fixed dates and the times of their fulfillment. You're not permitted to know the timing of all that he has prepared by his own authority. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth." Amen. Now, I love this verse. It's one of those Bible verses that we should be memorizing because it helps us remember why we're here, what our purpose is, and how we're going to achieve what God has for us. Now, the challenge last week was to arise, and what better verse to follow that great clarion call that Matt gave than this one? And I want to take you on a bit of a journey this morning through some steps laid out for you in this verse so that you will be thoroughly equipped, prepared, and challenged, ready to step into this year to hit some glory goals. Now, I made that up. I thought it would sound quite cheesy. But I thought because it's cheesy, we should all say it together so I don't feel stupid. So let's say it. Let's hit some glory goals. That's it. Okay. Now, that's the only thing you're going to remember. You're going to go home and go, "Oh, we did glory goals this morning. What was that all about?" Now, I do apologize to Matt. Yes, it is becoming exactly what you thought it was. But anyway, we're going to step into the verse. We're going to start by looking at timing. Now, God's timing is perfect. Do you agree? Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. Now, the fact that Jesus was unable or unwilling to tell the disciples what was going to happen should motivate us to get going. We need to get going because we're 2,000 years later than this conversation. We're 2,000 years closer to the return of Jesus. So we need to get motivated to get out there and to tell people what it's all about. Patrick Johnson, who we used to work with in WEC International, he's an eminent missions writer and analyst. He first created the Operation World Book as a prayer guide and a resource for Christians to know what the global mission challenge looked like. He also went a step further and he then extrapolated all the numbers that he was getting from mission agencies across the world to get an idea of what Matthew 24:14, when that was going to be realized. You know that verse, the one that seems to say that when the world is reached with the gospel, then the world will end and Jesus will return. Hallelujah. Okay? And it goes like that. "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Hands up if you've never heard that verse before. Good. Right, you're all ready for it then. So, as far as Patrick Johnson was concerned, looking at the move of mission across the world in the last century, he saw that it was going to kind of culminate around about the year 2025. Okay, you've got 7 years. Are you ready? Now, to take that step further, Jehovah's Witnesses love this year thing, by the way. They all love this kind of the end of the world is near. We've passed a few of their milestones already, haven't we? To be fair, just to throw that back at them. But the Wycliffe Bible translators took this date and decided to use it to push themselves forward to get more of the work done around the world. So they came up with this thing called Vision 2025, realizing that there are around 7,000 languages in the world. 1,600 languages still need a Bible translation started. So the goal of Vision 2025 is that every language in the world will have a translation of the Bible at least started by that year. What do you think of that? Bit of a challenge, isn't it? Realizing that there are 2,500 languages that are have work being done on them right now, and 2,100 of them involve Wycliffe at the moment. Now, if you want to know more about what Wycliffe Bible translators are doing, please check out their website. It's really exciting, but it's also a challenge for us, isn't it? It's not very far away. 7 years they're talking about. We don't know the day or the hour. I'm not saying that we know the year either, and I would doubt it's going to be 2025, possibly just because that's for the one that they think it might be. But I wonder if you can see any signs that we may or may not be in the end times. We don't tend to talk about end times, do we, much in church? I think people get a bit too excited about it or a bit too frightened by it. I don't know if you're pre-millennial, post-millennial. I'm more of a pan-millennial kind of person, that it's all going to pan out in the end. God hasn't told us for a reason, really. I'm not pinning my colours on any mast. I'm quite happy. I don't think the Bible's clear enough for us to take that forward. Do you see signs of the end of the world? Are there wars and rumours of wars? Is the earth in birthing pangs? Are the polar caps melting? You know, there are things happening around the world, things that influence our thinking. There is persecution of Christians across the world, but in this country. This week we've had a lot of news this week, a lot of kind of wake-up kind of news. There was a church in Kyrgyzstan, near where we used to work, but not actually in the same place. A little Baptist church that was petrol-bombed during the night. And so they woke up and they went and checked out the church. The only thing that hadn't been burnt was the Bible at the front of the church. And they took it as a sign. They must continue the work that they were doing. They're a really tough area. We had some friends working near there, and they were badly treated by the locals, actually. But yeah, it's just such a challenging environment, this world, to be a Christian in. So I want to start really by encouraging you to seize the day. The Bible tells us that now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Don't put it off. Now is the right time to receive Jesus. If you haven't done that yet, this is really important. Or at least, if you have received Jesus, now is the right time to tell someone about him. Okay, moving on. The next thing to realize from Acts 1:8 is that we are receiving a promise from Jesus himself. He says, "But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power." The rest of the book of Acts is a practical demonstration of the spiritual power and influence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these men and women as they take the power of the Holy Spirit into the world. It's almost like a kind of practical textbook where you, instead of just saying, you will receive the Holy Spirit and then you will do the things that he shows you. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. What could that possibly mean? I don't feel that I could do anything special. They say, well, okay, hold on. Because you probably don't really understand what this means, we're going to give you this book called The Acts of the Apostles. And you're going to read it and you're going to realize, oh, that's what it meant. Oh, they healed that man that couldn't walk. Oh, they raised people from the dead. Oh, they cast out demons. Oh, they saw revival. They took the presence of Jesus everywhere they went. Okay, so that's what Acts is all about. It's actually demonstrating to you what is possible for you and for me when we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we've been given a promise of the Holy Spirit. Here's the question. Have you received him yet? We're told that he will come upon us. Have you felt his presence yet? Because when you do, you'll know it. You will know it. We are ensured that we will be filled with power. Are you filled up? Are you overflowing yet? We used to teach about stagnant ponds and how when water's pouring into something, there's got to be an outlet. It's got to go out again. Otherwise, it just becomes stagnant. There are churches where they sit with an open mouth and go, come on, feed me. And they get filled up week after week. And instead of pouring it back out, they just kind of sit in their daily lives and go, you know, because we're all a bit broken, aren't we? A bit cracked. We've cracked vessels, some more cracked than others, perhaps. So you get filled up, and then it all kind of seeps out. It seeps very slowly. Or you can choose to take your vessel, your cracked vessel, full of God and pour it out into other people's lives. And then you come the next week and go, I'm ready to get filled again. Or you come back to God the next day and go, God, I'm empty again. Come on, fill me up. Some people go through an awful lot of that filling, you know. And others of us get away with a bit less. But God's like, you know, I've always got a full jug here ready to fill you back up. Do you get the picture? Be filled up and be poured out. Be filled up, be poured out. Ephesians tells us, doesn't it? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Keep on being filled. Be filled again and again and again. There's no end to the amount of times that God is going to refill you. It's not like your battery on your phone that you charge it every night and eventually it's going to say, oh, can't charge anymore. Sorry, that's not working anymore. No, God's like, yeah, I'm always going to be ready. I'm going to fill you back up. I'm going to make you ready. I'm going to prepare you. That's what it's all about. Because it's essential in the life of every Christian, we're told to keep in step with the Spirit. But how can we do that if we're failing to recognize his presence and his power in our lives? Today in the sight of God, we're being called upon to take seriously the missional mandate of Almighty God. From Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But first, there is an order of things. In this verse, it reminds us that when Jesus said, first be filled with the Holy Spirit and then go. There's a reason for that. Because without God, unless the Lord builds a house? You did say that, didn't you? Oh my goodness. So unless the Lord builds a house, the laborer builds it in vain. We need God to be the foundation. We need God to be filling us before we try and pour ourselves out. That's really, really important. It's a spiritual principle for us this morning. So are we waiting for something special? Is there something that we think we need to wait for? Are we thinking, I need a bit more teaching. I need to read a bit more of my Bible. I need to perhaps be a bit better. I just feel a bit bad. I don't think I'm good enough to tell people about Jesus. Are we waiting for something? Because there's nothing else. There's nothing else coming. If you've got a filling of the Holy Spirit, a willing heart, and a testimony for Jesus, then that's really all you need.